Hello. This podcast is brought to you by the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group in London and with the kind permission of the Parkinson's UK charity. Welcome to Parkinson's Life Raft. Parkinson's Life Raft is designed to help you, whether you have Parkinson's or, like me, you care for someone who does. And whether you're having a good day or a bad one, we hope you'll feel connected to others who are in the same boat. Each podcast will invite a person or some people to give us a different perspective on living with Parkinson's. My name's Vivian Goldstein, and I'm a member of the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group here in London. My husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 10 years ago. I then discovered this support group, and I've been an active member ever since. In this episode, I chatted to Steph Kurtovich, who's a fantastic neurophysiotherapist. Steph lived in London for 5 years, which is how I met her, as she worked with my husband for about 3 years. Sadly for us, she's returned to her native New Zealand, but great for us, she's agreed to come on our podcast and explain why exercise is imperative to staving off Parkinson's. I hope you enjoyed this, our third episode of Parkinson's Life Raft. Hello everyone, welcome to the Parkinson's Life Raft podcast. Today, my guest is way over the other side of the world, in New Zealand. Steph Kurtovich is a fantastic neurophysiotherapist, and I say fantastic because I've often seen her work with my husband, and occasionally, in ages gone by when we were all allowed to be together in person, I've met with her at our support groups meeting venue in Kensington. Steph has been working with patients who have Parkinson's for 10 years, and she lived and worked in London for 5 years. She has a wonderful no-nonsense attitude. She's knowledgeable, warm, encouraging, and certainly my husband gained a lot from working with her, and she was very popular amongst other members of our group. And here I introduce to you Steph Kurtovich. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Thank you. Lovely introduction. Thank you.
You're very welcome. How are you and where are you in New Zealand?
Well, I'm currently sitting in my new living room in Auckland. So I have returned home to lovely New Zealand and I've just moved into my new house. And so I'm enjoying my new lounge room.
Oh, well, it looks very beautiful. And I love all the coral behind. It's lovely. Very
attractive
and pleasing. Now, how did you first get into neurophysiology or physiotherapy?
Well, it was a very easy decision for me. It initially started when I first went on placement as a student. I had a placement at a neurological private physiotherapy company in New Zealand, here in Auckland. And after a placement of, I think it was about 6 weeks, I knew straight away that neurological physiotherapy was for me. I think the spending time with people who are making real changes and improving function and quality of life, I knew for me, it was so rewarding. And instead of fixing someone's knee, you were really making changes to people's quality of life. So after that, I went straight into it. So it's actually the only physiotherapy that I've ever done, and I've never looked back. I love it dearly.
You're very, very good at it. So well done for choosing it. Now, what role does neurophysiotherapy play in Parkinson's?
Yeah, I don't think many people necessarily know what neurological physiotherapy even is. And Traditionally, people think of physiotherapy as if you have a sore shoulder or you might have a sore ankle, you go and see a physiotherapist to help with a body part. Whereas neurological physiotherapy is a much broader type of physiotherapy where we look at movement patterns and the whole body and how it works in specific tasks and ways. And with neurological physiotherapy, specifically looking at the central nervous system, so with Parkinson's, the brain, and how that impacts movement. And so neurological physiotherapy is this broad physio where we look at the movement patterns, tasks, such as sit to stands, in and out of bed, and have a really holistic approach to improving people's quality of life. And so with Parkinson's, it becomes really, really important in maximizing function. So looking at, you know, that quality of life, big picture, how can you get really good at things and improve quality of life?
And something very simple, like the sit to stand. I've seen you do that with Howard, my husband. And it's such a simple thing to explain and so very helpful.
Makes such a difference, and that's a really good point. And sometimes it's as simple as education, and teaching people a way to do something can immediately change their life. And that's one of the most rewarding parts, because I can go to a client's house and show them a way to do a sit to stand correctly, and suddenly they're flying off the couch and life becomes a lot easier in that moment. And so that's why neurological physiotherapy is so important for people with movement disorders, because you are really fighting to get really good functional change that improves quality of life, sometimes immediately and also over that long term as well.
Yes, if you keep doing it, then...
Yeah, and exploring new things, because of course difficulties pop up all the time. And so kind of looking at tasks as and when they become difficult, and preventing that as well.
That's very important, the preventative care. So where does the healthcare need to change to be preventative?
Yeah, so excitingly, quite recently actually, the guidelines, the NICE guidelines for Parkinson's, have recently put into their guidelines that physiotherapy should be initiated at the onset of diagnosis. So instead of going to see a physiotherapist where you've got a problem and you've had a fall or something's happened, we're trying to really come back to that starting point where physiotherapy is used as a preventative way to delay the progression of the illness and improve the function. That's something that I feel passionate about, is getting to people early. And, you know, we know what happens with Parkinson's. We know you get stiff. We know things get difficult. And so the whole concept is that we get as fit and as strong as we possibly can to really maximize function for as long as we can. And it makes such a huge difference.
And as you say, the earlier you get your brain and muscle memory remembering all the good stuff, the slower it will be to lose that muscle memory.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what happens with Parkinson's is that you can have problems with stiffness, so joints get really stiff. You can have problems with coordination, so, and also proprioception, which is knowing where your body is in space. So you have all of these things that will be going on in the background for a long time. And so we think, okay, how can we get in there early, get really balanced, get really good at walking? You know, I've got people marching around, you know, the block and doing things that they might not necessarily find difficult now, but knowing that perhaps it might get difficult. And so why not get really good at it? And so it takes longer, and that progression is slowed. That's the aim of the game, to slow that progression. And maximize the function, because it's just so important. People forget how to move.
Yeah. So this is where the health span versus the lifespan comes in. What does that mean, and why should we be aiming to increase our health span?
Yeah. So this is also a really important concept. And it's about people, I think, really recognizing what function they have in the moment and how to really improve their quality of life. Because we all want to live long lives, and we always are focusing on how long can we live? Can I live till I'm 100? But if I lose my health at 70 and live to 100, then that time might not be very good. And so it's about really recognizing that we really want to improve health and be healthy in the years that we are living. And people with neurological conditions, be that Parkinson's or multiple sclerosis or whatever it might be, tend to move and exercise less. Yes. And so that's going to impact health. That's going to impact health in regards to their condition, but also heart health, bone health, you know, things that are important throughout our whole lives to maintain a good health span so that you can do the things that you love to do for as long as you can do them.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
And so exercise is important to anybody, whether they've got Parkinson's or not. But if you're not well, it is so much more beneficial.
Yeah, well, it's always beneficial. Exactly right. And I think we, you know, we work so hard with people with Parkinson's to get, you know, to get healthy, but we often forget that we need to remind, well, physios need to remind our patients that, you know, you need to do it for your cardiovascular health, because you're still as at risk as you know anyone else for having cardiovascular issues or circulation issues. So it's really important that we don't forget that exercise is good for many different reasons. And we need to, Parkinson's is one thing, but to be healthy and to be fit and to be strong, it is complex and broad, and we need to exercise to help with that. And being healthy, nutrition, sleep, exercise, you know, it all comes into play to making sure that we're healthy.
We're gonna do another podcast on nutrition. Now,
Which
exercises are best for people with Parkinson's, would you think?
So I wouldn't necessarily say that any exercises are the best exercises. The first thing that I would say, that all movement is good movement. If you are exercising, fantastic. That's really, really brilliant. And there are definitely ways to maximize your ability, maximize the potential of the exercise to really help you. So we talk a lot about neuroplasticity in neurological physiotherapy. And neuroplasticity is basically the brain's ability to adapt and change. And so we use those principles with exercise in order to make life a little bit easier. So that might be trying to change a movement pattern. So driving a functional change. So be that walking, sit to stand, in and out of bed. And so with any exercise that you're doing for your Parkinson's, we want to make sure that it's very functional in nature, so that you're practicing things that you want to get better at. So that if you want to get better at walking, then it's really important that you practice walking. And if you want to get better at going up and down the stairs, then we have to practice the stairs. And so we have to look, I mean, exercise is such a broad topic. I feel like I could sit here for hours and talk to you about exercise. But we have to, if we're thinking specifically about Parkinson's, you've got to be doing all your cardiovascular high intensity work. You've got to be doing that. But on top of that, you specifically need to be doing functional training. Mm. And that's what people need to remember, is that you can sit on a bike for an hour and work away, but is that going to make any difference to your ability to turn in bed? Probably not.
Mm. Yeah.
So using that functional training in order to really change your ability in your day-to-day life, what we call your activities of daily living, and make them a little bit easier. I suppose the other point,
Well, I was just thinking the stretching is awfully important, isn't it?
Yeah. So if what we know happens is that we get that stiffness. And I think because also people with Parkinson's tend to sit down a lot more or struggle to move. So that stiffness and that kind of that what we call, you're almost returning to this fetal position, you get flexed and everything kind of comes in, that exercise has to be used exactly right to open up your body again and really strengthen your extensors, so the muscles that really extend and open your body, strengthening your back. And I'm sure you've met a lot of people with Parkinson's who perhaps complain about their posture, with that being quite a big issue as well. And so, and posture then affects walking. Yeah. And then, you know, it all kind of comes one after another. And so using exercise, especially early if we can, to strengthen the postural muscles, making sure that we keep the muscles long. So opening up joints, lengthening muscles, strengthening the back. And as I'm saying this, I feel like it sounds like a lot, but it's not, because all of these things can be one type of exercise. You know, it's not like you have to do 100 different exercises, but the benefits of certain exercise can benefit posture, balance, mobility. They can all kind of help the same thing.
I notice, Howard, you know, I don't mean to nag, but I think sometimes he doesn't realize that he's sort of bowed over a bit. And I say, please, please straighten your back. What is it that you think that family members and carers can do to help with movement?
I hear this daily from clients and also their family and friends about how they, well, often I hear the word nag. Okay, so you people clearly feel like they're always on their back and they're always trying to point out things to help them. I think what everyone has to remember is that it's not nagging, but you've got to do it in really simple terms. Okay, so being really complex in your narrative and what you're saying is really difficult for someone with Parkinson's. So if you were to say something, just put your left foot forward and reach with your right arm to get to do that, that's a really complex task. And so I've always used with clients just to say the word big. Just do things big, because that increase in amplitude is going to significantly help movement. And that's a really good thing for people who know someone with Parkinson's to know. If you want to help improve their movement, keep language simple and try something like big, move big, be big, do it big. Because that increase in amplitude is one of the key parts of Parkinson's, is that people who suffer from Parkinson's reduce their amplitude of movement. So they move smaller, steps become shorter, arms don't swing. And instead of trying to correct every little movement, I mean, you've probably heard me hundreds of times screaming big in your house. I feel like I'm nagging too, but it has to be big. And movement has to be big. I think also people need to remember that no one's more frustrated than the person who's moving with Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And it's no good getting frustrated, because they're frustrated and they know they're not moving well. Sometimes they know, sometimes they don't. But a lot of the time, you know, they know that their feet are stuck to the ground and it's not as simple as just moving and getting out of the way. And I do see this often quite a bit too, is that it's frustrating for both parties. And learning and remembering that no one's more frustrated than the person that can't move, and remembering that.
I think that's an excellent piece of advice, self-awareness about yourself and how you're communicating is obviously going to be very helpful with your partner or whoever you're looking after or spending time with. And I have heard you use the word big, and it makes sense to me that if somebody's doing arm exercises to make it bigger, that makes sense. And I was just trying to think about put your back up. The word would be taller.
Yeah, taller.
Yeah. Because bigger makes sense. So for the posture, I'm going to try the word taller, Howard. Taller.
And also a really good thing to remember is to mirror things. So if you want someone to do something, then you stand up tall and over-exaggerate that movement. Use that type or the amplitude you want them to use. So you're going to feel like you're over-exaggerating a movement and looking really silly, but you need them to scale up. So people will probably have seen me walking around London and I'm storming down the road, swinging my arms, because I'm trying to drive people's amplitude up and I'm trying to really mirror what I want from them. So I need them to really kind of exaggerate their movement. So they're only going to know to do that if I exaggerate my movement. So then I start moving really big and trying to just mirror what I want to see. And that could also be really helpful for someone, as if someone's a bit stuck, to really mirror what you want, marching and picking those feet up so that they can kind of get that feedback as well.
I think that's a really good point, because at the beginning of dealing with Parkinson's, you don't really have any idea of what's going on, whether you're the patient or the person next to you.
I think it really, there's a lack of education out there, isn't there, as to how to help someone. And actually, someone, you know, a partner or a friend could actually use neurological physiotherapy as a way to educate themselves, because it's such a big part of it. You know, I think just being able, you know, it would be beneficial for you as well to have a neurological physiotherapy session to know about how to deal with someone's movement and tips and tricks. And physiotherapy happens, say, 40 minutes in a session, but actually it should be happening every hour of every day.
And I've, because of the pandemic, I've been very fortunate that you had to do exercises with Howard on Zoom, so I had to be there to organize the laptop, and so that's why I've gained so much knowledge from what you're doing with your patients, and that's why I know you're very good. Lots of really good tips there, thank you very much. Now, what are your thoughts on fatigue and breathing and mental health? I know this isn't your expertise, but are there any insights you've come across in your
time? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I did a postgraduate paper on breathing and neurological conditions. So I see the benefit in it massively. You know, if your breathing pattern isn't normalized, then no other movement pattern can be. So we look at some main things in neurophysio, and I think that's why it's so broad, because we should absolutely be looking at breathing, okay? So that diaphragmatic breathing, we all should be. I catch myself out all the time. Making sure that we're taking those big belly breaths, slowing our breath down, and becoming really good breathers, because it is so important. It's the fundamental to life, and so we've got to be good at it. The reason why that's so important with Parkinson's is because it can calm your nervous system. So when you are anxious, people might notice that it exacerbates their symptoms. Perhaps they freeze more often. Perhaps their tremor gets a little bit worse. They might find it more difficult to move or to speak. And quite often we can relate that to an increase in anxiety. And so breathing can be used as a way to really help calm the nervous system. So you've gone from your sympathetic, which is your fight or flight, I'm anxious, I'm living up here, and that can exacerbate symptoms, to your rest and digest, calm, and that's your parasympathetic nervous system, where you're just chilling, and that can reduce symptoms at times. So it can be a way to actually improve your symptoms. You also mentioned sleep, which is, again, hugely important, and something that people with Parkinson's struggle with for many reasons, be that restless legs, really stiff and finding it hard to turn over in bed, getting comfortable, not being able to kind of really find a position where they feel comfortable, being worried when you're lying and you've got time to think, and also just having problems getting to sleep. And so I think that was a really good thing to bring up, is that sleep is something that definitely needs to be explored. You need to be getting 8 hours of sleep. I tell that to people and people always go, there's no way I'm getting 8 hours. I'll never get 8 hours sleep. But that should be an aim. And I think that you can work with a physio and occupational therapist in regards to making sure that your environment and your habits and routine enable you to really try and maximize your sleep. And there's so many tips and tricks. That's a whole nother presentation in order to help your sleep. But absolutely, should definitely be looking at many different things. And I think that's what to go back to that health span and looking at health at a really kind of broad angle and just thinking, okay, so wide angle, I should say, is there's different ways that we are healthy, and physio and exercise is one, but we've discussed nutrition, sleep, breathing. There's so many things that make a full picture. So yes, I believe in many different things, and whatever works as well. I think in trial and error, you know, we often come up with, you know, things, don't we, of kind of problem solving.
Mm. Yes, and everyone's an individual, so it's all very well saying, oh, you mustn't have the television on, but if somebody falls asleep very easily because the television's on and stays asleep, then I don't see a problem with that.
I think that brings it back to also, you know, when you ask me what exercise is best, I mean, everyone's different. Everyone's different. And I think, you know, there's definitely exercise programs that people would have heard about, PD Warrior, LSVT. They're all fantastic programs, but for some people, they're no good. They're not going to work. And so I'm very hesitant to say, you know, what is the best exercise? Mm. All exercise is good exercise. And what works for some people doesn't work for others.
Exactly. And that's where the patient and the carer, I feel, stop me if you think I'm wrong, but that's where the patient and the carer have to be aware of what is working for them. And it's not always easy for the patient to know what's working and not, because it's not always possible.
They've got a perception problem, don't they? They can't necessarily perceive what's happening.
They can't process it. And the person watching can then help them with the words they might need, not put words in their
mouth. And I think that's also the job of the physio, is to really try and, you know, what I do with different clients, I do very different things with different people, and that should be something that your physio should be helping you do, is finding an exercise that works and that's enjoyable, because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to do it, because, you know, it's our nature, is that we've got to do things that are enjoyable. And so I would really recommend that people, even if they went to go speak to a neurological physiotherapist, to figure out what exercise could be good for them and what would work for them. Yeah. Might be one-on-one, might be group, might be swimming, might be boxing. You know, it's all good stuff.
Yeah, if they're interested in football or something to do with throwing footballs and stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Now, if somebody has Parkinson's, where do they start? How do they start thinking about, I need to exercise, what do they do first?
Knowledge is power. Totally, knowledge is power. And I think that the more that you people can kind of understand what's happening within the body, and sometimes people are scared to know this. You know, I think some people are a bit hesitant to look into what's happening. Sometimes it's easier just not to kind of think about it. But the effect of that is that you stop moving and things get worse a little bit quicker. So to really, I would say, to understand what's happening with the body. And so then you can tackle what you're going to do. Because if you don't know what's happening, how can you plan?
Absolutely.
I quite often, my first session with clients, I sit down and I say, okay, what do you know about Parkinson's? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what it is and what it means. Because, you know, they go to a neurologist and they have their you know, their time with them, and they get told they've got Parkinson's, and then they get sent away and with medication. And there's a review in 6 months.
Yeah.
And so there's real kind of lack of actually knowing what's happening. And so I would recommend people doing accessing a physio, accessing the internet, or just trying to get some fantastic books out there as well. And so just learning what's happening with the body, I would say, because if you don't know what's happening, you can't really treat.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say is just get moving. Don't sit down. You know, if you've got a diagnosis, you have an opportunity to get as fit and as strong as you can, and so that your journey with Parkinson's is as best as it can be. And life can be good. You know, the holidays are going to happen, and, you know, you're going to walk to the football. And it's, people often think it's this big grey cloud, and I get that. But lots of good things are going to happen. You're still going to play tennis. You're still going to do this. You're still going to do that. So really trying to exercise, be fit, be happy, and try and be healthy with it, because it's going to be a journey, and you might as well maximize that health span.
Absolutely. Steph, you've been incredible. Thank you very much. So many good tips there. So many bits.
Absolute pleasure.
If anyone would like to contact Steph, they can do that through her company. And the email address is admin@neurophysiogroup.com. She'd be delighted to answer any questions. And maybe we could ask you to come and give us some talk on sleep.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. If anyone has any questions, please feel free to get in touch, and one of myself and my team will be in touch. But it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for everything, and I wish you very well. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
How great is Steph? Even though she's the other side of my world, I know that she and one of her team will happily respond to any questions you may have, so please do contact them via the website www.neurophysiogroup.com, or you can email admin@neurophysiogroup.com. And thank you for listening. Do let me know who you'd like to hear from and the questions that are important to you. You can email me at pliferaft@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. In the meantime, goodbye and take good care of yourselves. In producing this podcast, I'd like to thank Richard Smart and Emma Brzezinski for the idea, our chairman John Amphlett, who always encourages an idea, Nick F. Grave for the original music, Mike Bailey and the team at EPLS Design for the graphics and sound editing. This is a production by Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group with permission from Parkinson's UK.
Please note that unless otherwise stated, the people speaking in this podcast are not experts. They are describing their personal experience of Parkinson's disease and ways they have personally found helpful in dealing with it. You must consult your own medical advisors before acting on any suggestions made in this podcast. This applies to experts as well as non-experts. Nothing in this podcast is to be treated as advice, and no liability whatsoever is accepted by the makers or participants for any steps taken in reliance on any part of its contents.